Second to Colossians 3. In my Bible, it is titled Rules for Holy Living. And we all like rules, don't we, church? We love rules. Sometimes when you read them, it may be a little bit more difficult. But I'm reading from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17, and I'm going to read it in the NIV version. Those of some of you who have different versions, but that's okay. It says this: Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ with God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. May God bless his word. Wow. Wow. Okay, let's go through it and then see what God says to us. Verses 1 to 4. The first thing I want you to notice is that this is a different heart. It's a different mindset to what you have now as a Christian to what you had before you became a believer. Before you became a believer, you had different ways of thinking to the time you have now that you are a believer. You might not notice it, but when you became a Christian, you changed. You put off the things of the world, and you put on the things of Christ. When I first became a Christian, I didn't think I'd changed at all. I thought I was the same person that I was before I was a Christian. Didn't feel any different. Didn't think that I was doing anything different, apart from the fact that all those people that were friends with me before I became a Christian suddenly disappeared. And then there was this other group of people who I never knew before, sort of wanted to know me. So it's a bit different. And then a year later, I went off and did a year working with Youth for Christ in Southend. After that, I came back and I met up with some of my old friends, and one of them said to me, "Mike, haven't you changed?" அவன் I don't know. But because my life was no longer ruled by the flesh, it was ruled by Christ. And before you became a Christian, before you gave your life to Jesus, your mind was controlled by the flesh. And now your mind is controlled by Christ. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The second thing I want you to notice in there is that it's upward. Where our mind is not on earthly things, our mind is on Christly things. Our focus shouldn't be on earthly things and the things that we can gather around us, which are earthly. They should be on the things that we can gather around us, which are heavenly. Storing up in heaven treasures rather than storing on this world treasures. Next thing I want you to understand is that we, if we are Christians, are hidden in Christ. We are hidden in Christ. And there is no better place to be. Whatever we go through, and in life we all go through difficult circumstances. We all have hard things to go through. But if we are in Christ, then we are hidden. We are hidden in him. And we do not face or do these things alone. We do them with one who is greater, as Jesus said, than the world, walking with us. We are hidden in him. It is amazing. Verses 5 to 10, there is a war going on, church, a war going on. It is the old nature versus the new nature. And whilst we live in these fleshy bags of bones, there will always be a war going on. A war for you, for your soul. It is your old, inner, whatever you want to call, person, trying to take you back to where you were before you gave your life to Christ. There is a war going on. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a battle going on, church, and it's a battle for your soul. When you read through that list in verses 5 to 10, there are some unpleasant things that used to engulf us, that used to be our everyday. And I can read a lot of those and I think to myself, that used to be me. That used to be me. But I read a couple and I said, anger, hang on a minute. Occasionally, that's still me. I get angry. Anyone who doesn't get angry, please come tell me how you manage it afterwards. Do not lie to each other. Filthy language from your lips. Slander, malice, rage, anger. All these things will distract you from Christ. They will put a blockage in the way of you meeting with Jesus. I was that person. We were that person. But we're not that person anymore. We are different. We are changed. There is no condemnation now to us because we are in Christ Jesus. Verse 11 and verse 14 say the same thing again. We are one in Christ. We are one body in Christ. We're not the Lone Ranger. We are one body united in Jesus Christ. And in John 17, it says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you are hidden in Christ. You are one with Christ. You are one with every other Christian believer in this world. Because that's what Scripture says. Verses 12 to 14. I've put a title on this. It says, Right Actions. Right Actions. And it's interesting that the Scripture I was going to use was Matthew 6, verses 9 to 14. Which Peter made us do just a second ago, which is the Lord's Prayer. And part of the Lord's Prayer, verse 11 says this, Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's only one line, but it does say it also in the scripture from Colossians. Forgiveness is a major thing. It says here, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Black and white. It's easy. But it's such a hard thing. Forgiveness is a really hard thing. And unforgiveness can create such a blockage in your life that you miss out on the things that Jesus has for you. It can create such a barrier, such a wall, that it eats away at your soul and eventually it will spiritually kill you. It's easy to say, but so difficult to do. We need to forgive not only one another, that's actually the easier, to forgive one another as your brothers and sisters in Christ, but to forgive somebody out in the world that's hurt you is much more difficult, but you still got to do it. It doesn't say if you forgive those people that are in your fellowship, then you'll be forgiven. It doesn't say if you forgive people that are in your family, then you'll be forgiven, but it doesn't matter about anybody else. It says people, all people, whether they're in the church or out of the church, you need to forgive. And if you're harboring unforgiveness, it will eat away at your soul. Another thing in John 20:23, it says this, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Well, you could be condemning that person whose sins will not be forgiven because you refused to forgive them. Such a difficult thing. The man asked in Matthew 18 how many times he needs to forgive. Peter was told a lot. 70 times 7. So it's not just I forgive you, but again, it's something in your heart. When you forgive somebody with your heart and you let it go, then the wall is broken. The wall is broken and Christ can come in and dwell in you. I'm going to read Romans 8, verses 8 to 17. It's sort of a parallel. It says, Therefore, church, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And if Jesus has set you free, then you are
free.
Hallelujah. You don't need to pick it up again and take it home with you. If Christ has set you free, then you are free. That's it. If Christ has set you free, you are free. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that righteousness, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace.
The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in that realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Well, it says a bit further down that you are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Church, we have a choice as individuals how we want to live our life. We can live it the formal way, in the flesh, or we can live it with Christ. I can tell you which is the better way from my own personal point of view. And that is in Christ. He doesn't say that it is easy. He doesn't say that it's going to be a bed of roses, because even roses have thorns. It is not an easy life being a Christian, but it is the most fulfilled, amazing life. I can't tell you, I mean, my problem when I was a teenager was I used to drink a lot. When I became a Christian, I didn't set foot in a pub for over 10 years. Just didn't want to. There were other things that I wanted to do instead of being compelled to do the things that I used to do when I was a teenager. Unfortunately, back in them days, I used to get paid cash at the end of the week. That's not a good thing to give somebody who likes to drink a lot. Cash is not great. So I'd go from the factory to the pub, which happened to be about 20 yards across the road. So you didn't have to wait long. Straight in there, and then money was gone. Certainly by Sunday night, whatever you worked during the week was gone. That's how my life was. But when Christ came in, it changed. I didn't want to go 20 yards across the road to the pub. I wanted to go to the church. Because that's where Jesus was amongst his believers. That's where I had all my rough edges knocked off. That's where the things that made me who I was before I was a Christian could be laid at the foot of the cross. And I could stare into the face of Christ and be different. And if you don't know Christ, as has already been said, then I would urge you to speak to him. Ask him to reveal himself to you. It is the most amazing thing. But there is always going to be a conflict going on for your life. Until you get to glory, which is where Sarah's mum is, there is always going to be a conflict. With the old life, with the scripture says that the devil is around like a roaring lion. He's looking for people to devour. And if you're out there on your own as a Christian, then it's relatively easy to be picked off. But if you're part of a fellowship of believers, wherever, whichever part of the country you come from, then it's much more difficult because you have people around you that are watching your back. You have people around you that are praying for you. And if you are blessed enough, like I was, to have a parent who for 18 and a half years got down on their knees every day and prayed for my soul, then you guys are blessed indeed. She never gave up for me. And I will never give up for my children and my family. Praying to Jesus is never a waste of time. Spending time on your knees in a quiet place is never a waste of time. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, how long you've been doing it. Doesn't even matter if sometimes you fall asleep. It's the effort of spending time with Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because it's only when you spend time with Christ, it's only when you spend time with his people that the old life can't get its hooks into you. When you spend time with people who have your back, then the old life has nothing to get a grip onto. But if you think that you can do it on your own, then you will struggle. And the old life has a much easier way of getting hold of you. Being a Christian is an awesome, awesome thing. It changes your life radically. And it doesn't matter if you're 12 or 112, we need to be obedient, radical people for Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to say anything else. I've waffled enough. But take this home with you. You are hidden in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Then I'll hand back to Peter. Lord, I thank you that in you we are never alone. We don't have to face any circumstance on our own. We've got brothers and sisters to stand with us, and we have you to walk alongside us through every circumstance that we face, through every hardship that we go through, through every mountain that we have to climb. You will walk with us every step of the way. Thank you, Lord, that you carry our burdens. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross and were prepared to give up your life for a sinner that was me. Lord, thank you that you have changed my life and every life of the Christian in this room. That we are not the people we were before. Help us, Lord, to live lives of victorious Christians, hidden in you. And let us do it all for your glory. It's not about us, it's about you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen.